RadioStPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to another edition of Job Talk. I'm your host, and this is the only radio program in Tampa Bay with the sole focus of talking about jobs. My goal is to speak with every business that employs people in St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay and provide a forum to showcase their business and experience here that will allow other business owners and individuals to see what an incredible place we have in St. Pete and Tampa Bay. So before I introduce today's very special guest, I'd like to give a shout out to some friends listening throughout the country. In Michigan, I'd like to say hello to Dave and Kathy, Lynn and Lou, and Diane, Rob, and Lisa. Also listening in Texas is my friend Larry and Dr. Chris. Perhaps today's program will convince you to come out to Florida. We sure would like to have you here. And a big hello to Will, who brought some original art for my guest today. And to Haley and the gang, who are taking such great care of Maggie. And also to Mike, thanks for the email just a little while ago. Thanks all for tuning in. So today, I'm very happy to have as my guest an author, attorney, and currently the president of the Edwards Group, the former mayor of St. Petersburg, Rick Baker. Welcome, Mayor.
Dean, good to be with you.
So, you know, you have such an interesting and unique background. It's truly an honor for me to have you here today. Thank you very much for being here. I'd really like to talk about, we have just 30 minutes, but I'd like to talk about everything we can, starting with your growing up and all the way through current and future projects. So tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your growing up in Indianapolis, etc.
Sure. Well, I'll do it real quick. I was born in Chicago, lived there that's where my mom was from, and have a lot of family still in Chicago, and lived there till I was four, and went to Indianapolis for 6 years. I loved Indianapolis. I love Chicago too. And left Indianapolis when I was 10, when my dad got a job down in Miami, and I spent the rest of my elementary school, middle school, and high school in South Miami, down in the Palmetto area, and then came up here to my dad got another job up in Tampa, and went to Brandon and graduated from Brandon High School before I went up to FSU for school.
And you graduated with a law degree?
I stayed at FSU till they made me get out and go get a job, and I got a bachelor's, an MBA, and a law degree from Florida State.
Great. You know, your MBA, I read in your book, Seamless City, that one of your biggest educational experiences was when you were, instead of the MBA, it was when you had a payroll to meet, and there was not a lot of money in the bank.
Yeah, I always tell people that I got my MBA from Florida State, but I got my PhD the first time I had to make payroll and I didn't have any money. That's exactly right.
It's really a good lesson for business owners. And so what did you, so that helped shape you, I'm sure, for your term as mayor and stuff. So,
well, you know, I find that everything that I did really lent itself towards that. You know, practicing law, I dealt a lot with a lot of legal issues, and I ran a law firm, so you run a business, and the financial discipline you learn when you do that, and how you approach things, and then I was chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, and I was involved in a lot of things in our community. I wrote a book on the history of St. Pete, so all that I think helped prepare me to jump into the job of mayor.
And so, what? Tell me about your process of deciding to even run for mayor. What motivated you there?
You know, growing up, my family was not a political family by any stretch, and I never even ever gave any thought to running for political office when I was growing up. I when I was in college, one of my fraternity brothers was president of the student body at Florida State, so he appointed me to a vacant student senate seat in my sophomore year. And I got involved in it, got interested in it, And then when I got to St. Pete in the 80s, when I got out of law school, I got a job here with a law firm. And I started getting involved in the community, and I could see more and more, especially on the city level, how much the decisions of the city, like whether it's the city council or the mayor, impact the lives of the people here. And so I got involved in elections prior to me being mayor. I was involved in the five successful campaigns for mayor before I ran for mayor. So I got to know Bob Ulrich, who was a great mayor, and Dave Fisher, who was also a great mayor. They both were mayors before I was, and was involved in their campaigns and helped them a little bit when they were in office. And so I really decided that that would be a good way to try to help the community move forward.
And when were you a mayor here?
I was mayor from 2001 to 2010.
Long time.
And long time.
So, yeah, that's great. And I hear all the time about all the accomplishments that that you were involved with when you were here. You know, what was the city like when you took office?
Well, St. Pete's a great city. It had kind of started the spark, but wasn't quite where it needed to be yet, I think. And we had some issues in a lot of different areas that I tried to work on. We approached it from a strategic planning model. We set up a mission statement to become the best city in America by working every day to improve the quality of life of the people that live here, and we worked towards that. Then we had five strategic points in our plan, and improving public safety, supporting the public schools, working on economic development in downtown and midtown throughout the city, and improving our neighborhoods and improving government services and reducing taxes. So we worked on all five of those areas. We had plans for attacking each one of those, and we got up every day and worked towards doing it.
I'd like to talk about some of that, especially I know that in my business in recruiting people, one of the major issues in relocating a family are the jobs, certainly. Are they available if somebody comes to work here in a technical capacity and then the job doesn't work out, what can they do? So they want to know that there's a thriving IT community, which we definitely have here. But also, they want to know about the education for their kids. And just talking about, some people I know that are considering coming here, one of the issues is schools. So I know that you put in a lot of programs to deal with schools. And I think maybe you could talk about, as I remember, what was the Top Apple program?
Well, you know what? When I first was running, there were nine people running for mayor at the time, and I had identified supporting public schools as one of my planks. And some of the other folks said, schools aren't under the mayor's job. It's the school board's job. So this guy doesn't even know that it's not part of his job. And my response to that was that, if the public schools are not good, you're going to have a hard time getting people moving into your neighborhoods. And you're going to have a hard time getting people to expand businesses or bring businesses to your city. So if somebody doesn't think that the public schools aren't important enough for the mayor to be involved, then they shouldn't be mayor. And the people evidently agreed with that because they elected me. And so I did a lot of programs. The Top Apple was one of them. Jeb Bush is a great governor, Governor Bush. He put in place a program called A+, where he graded each of our public schools based on the standardized achievement scores of the students, which I think is a good idea. I think you should measure how your schools are doing based upon the learning of the students, which is you can only measure if you test them. Mm-hmm. And so our schools had A, B, C, D, F, so I tried to work in concert with that, and I raised private money to provide certain rewards for principals and assistant principals in our schools. So if you are a school that was an A school or went from being a B to an A or a C to a B, you became a Top Apple school in St. Pete. And if you were a Top Apple school, then the principal and assistant principal was brought to City Hall at a televised meeting. We had the school board members there and other folks. And we gave them certain awards as incentives. So we gave them a marble award with their name, marble apple with their name on it. And we gave them a basket of goodies like season passes to American Stage. And then they got dinner for two at a nice restaurant downtown St. Pete, and a weekend on the St. Pete Beach with their family in a nice resort hotel. And then I think it was about a $2,500 cash bonus for the principals. So it was a nice incentive for principals, all, by the way, all private money. Nice incentive for principals, because quite often, you know, principals have a tough job. And, mm-hmm. and if they have an F school, they're going to read about it in the newspaper, right? But if they get an A school, we should do something too. So that's what we tried to do.
And you visited almost, I think you visited every school.
Every school.
And shook the hands of every kid that was there.
I believe I've, for that period of time, I shook the hand of every child. Yeah, I have kids still come up to me, mm-hmm. and they may be in high school or they may be in college, and they'll say, Mayor Baker, do you remember meeting me? I said, well, I said, I do. Tell me, Mayor, remind me where, right? And they said, in Mrs. Jones' class. Well, okay, which school is that? And then they tell me, and they remember that the mayor came by in fourth grade and shook their hand and told them to stand up straight and mm-hmm. give their name clearly and look people in the eye when you're shaking their hand. And it was always part of, I want all children in our community feel part of our city. And if they get to meet the mayor, then I think that's, they do feel that way.
And they'll remember it for an awful long time.
I did it because I remember meeting a congressman from Miami when I was in fifth grade on the blacktop at Pinecrest Elementary School one day. And I never forgot that. He's the only elected person I remember meeting growing up. And it made that much of an impression on me, and I think it does to kids.
Great. Now, you also had the Mayor's Mentors program. What was that
about? Yeah, we trained people to become mentors for children in our public schools. We trained 1,200 people that to go out into the public schools 1 hour a week and be a mentor in the public schools. Good thing.
And is that program still going on?
It, to my knowledge, it still is continuing.
Wonderful. Great. So there was I was told that, I read that you were told that you make great stone soup.
Yeah.
Tell me about that concept.
Yeah, that was actually General Petraeus said that at a speech he was giving at a luncheon that I was at. And the story of stone soup, people might remember, is when some soldiers came into a small village and they were hungry, so they picked up a bunch of stones and they found a pot and they put the stones in a pot and they put some water in the pot and they started to boil it, and people from the village started coming around and they asked him what they were doing. He said, oh, I'm making magical stone soup. And they would taste the water and say, boy, you know, all it needs now is some carrots. And so somebody said, and one of the people that gathered around went and got him carrots. And all it needs now maybe is little potatoes. And, you know, maybe if it had a little beef, it could be. So eventually you had this magnificent stew all made from these magical stones. And I think the general was referring to the fact that we believed strongly, still do, in public-private partnerships and finding resources from different places to help us all move towards a common goal. We did that in Midtown. We did that in Downtown. Did that in our school programs. We did that in a lot of different ways. I think that's what government needs to do nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And you're responsible for helping to bring a lot of businesses here. There was one in particular I thought was an interesting story. There's you may remember about there's a story about an elderly lady ice cream and which sundress to wear at the Mountain Festival, and you can tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, I always take 2 weeks off in the summer and take my family. My kids were 4 and 5 when I became mayor, so we go up every summer to a place called Fontana Village in North Carolina. It's really out in the middle of nowhere, nestled between the Smoky Mountain National Park and the Nantahala National Forest. And it's just a bunch of cottages up in a hill, and it's a wonderful place, but it's pretty remote. And I was mayor at the time, and I had to make a call to some folks from Valpak. We were trying to get Valpak to move their place down into St. Pete, which ultimately they did. And all they had was a payphone. The cell phone had no coverage, and so I went to make the payphone call at the appointed time, and there was a lady sitting there talking on the phone with some friend of hers in this country town, talking about her sundress and whatever, the fall festival, whatever it was. And I'm just kind of sitting there trying to not, you know, be like a guy from out of town pushing this lady off the phone. So I finally waited. Then I ran about a mile down the road and found another payphone and made the call. So that worked. So it worked out well. Perfect. It was. I was just sitting there, thinking, listening to this. It's a good thing that the lady's having a nice conversation with her friends. But I'm thinking, I'm losing hundreds of jobs here while I'm waiting for this lady to finish this conversation. So it was.
That's funny.
Kind of one of the many funny things that happened to you when your mayor was sitting.
And of course, we're really happy to have Valpak as a business here in St. Pete.
Great employer. They're a great employer. They're great. The technology in their plant in St. Pete is amazing. The robotics and everything they've got there, and they've been a great community supporter too. So good to have.
So, what other programs did you involve and promote in order to promote jobs for St. Pete?
Well, gee, and I'm a believer. I just spoke at Hillsdale College up in Indianapolis about a week ago, and it was about finances of city. And the point I make is that everything is tied together. You know, you can't do a jobs program. Well, let me give an example. I was with a city recently that doesn't have much to say for it. I won't name the city, but it's got a downtown that's not doing very well, and they're thinking about building a convention center in the heart of the downtown. And my response is, well, you can build a convention center, but why is somebody going to come to the city? You know, because people come to a convention in a city because they want to see the city. Mm-hmm. So you first have to do it. Well, it's the same thing with jobs. If you're trying to sell a company to come to a city, you have to first convince them that the quality of life of the city is such that it's going to be a great place for them to live. Because, you know, the folks that are in those businesses, that are leading the businesses, they're going to be raising their kids in our community. And they're going to want their families to be living in a nice place. They're investing a chunk of their life in living here. So you first have to focus on the quality of life issues associated with the city before you make the pitch for bringing a business to town. And that, to me, is critical, critical, critical. So we did dog parks and skateboard parks and bike paths, and we're the first designated green city in the state of Florida. And we created this vibrant downtown, which is such a special place with museums and culture and activities. And we also worked on the business environment. So we tried to work on our permitting and development department, so our code was easier to use, and our folks are more customer friendly than they were at one time. So you work on all of those things, and then you go and you make the pitch to the company.
Mm-hmm. That falls in line also with that Miami developer, I think, that you talked with, who said that if he built another retail or rental complex in the suburbs, you know, the amenities he can offer, a swimming pool and tennis courts. Here, if he builds a rental complex here in downtown, not only will he be able to offer those, but the amenities he can sell are movie theaters, restaurants, nightclubs, museums, galleries, performing arts, the pier, Major League Baseball, world-class soccer.
Grand Prix.
Exactly. And
you know, evidently, Dean, it worked, because we have 2,000 rental units under construction downtown right now.
Yeah.
And we've had thousands, you know, one that long ago, nobody lived downtown St. Pete. Mm-hmm. And now we have thousands of people living downtown. It really is the most, I think, quality urban environment, clearly, in the state of Florida. I mean, there's most of the downtowns in Florida you wouldn't walk around at night. But here you do. And here there are thousands of people walking around at night, and there's things to do and places to go, and you feel safe. And it's truly, you know, I like to talk about bike paths. Bike paths, we were named a number one mean street in the country back in 2000 for the worst pedestrian traffic along with Tampa. And so we set up the City Trails program, which is build 100 miles of new sidewalk. We fixed a lot of our crosswalks, and we set out to build the largest bicycle path system in the Southeast United States. Mm-hmm. That's what set out to do that. Well, 2 years ago or so, we were named not only the best bicycle city in Florida, which we've been now for some time, but we were named a top 10 bicycle city in America.
Wow.
And the other cities that are the top 10 bicycle cities are Portland and San Francisco and Denver and Chicago and Minneapolis and Washington and Boston. I mean, the other cool cities in America, right? And you go to places like Austin. You go to places like Austin and Portland. St. Petersburg has become one of those places, one of those kind of cool cities, not the size or New York, but one of the cool cities in America, the places where people think, you know, I'd like to live in Portland. I'd like to live in Austin. I'd like to live in St. Pete. That's where we are.
So Dr. Chris is in Austin, and so comparing the two, I mean, I've been both places. This is a whole lot different than Austin. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are different and beautiful. This is a beautiful place. And
you know, I've been to Austin and been around Austin. It's a great town. Mm-hmm. It's got a great university right in the heart of the city. It's the capital.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think we have the waterfront and right. You know, we've got a lot going for us, and I don't want to put down Austin at all. But one thing that Austin has that I would like to have is I would like to have the music scene that Austin has. And I think that's something that we have, the art scene, clearly. We're the we're the number one art city in America, ranked 3 years in a row for cities under 500,000, which is 99% of the country. So we have the art scene. We've got a lot of vibrancy downtown. And we have music, but I'd like to have more music. I wish every nightclub downtown had, like Austin does, has two grand pianos playing against each other, or a local band that's playing. I think we're going to get there.
We're close, I think. Yeah.
We're getting there. I think we really are. But I think there's so maybe your friend from Austin can come to St. Pete, bring that with him, and he can become part of the next wave for us.
And music, you're a musician as well, aren't you?
Well, I'm not sure that you could define it as that. I play guitar and sing old rock and roll songs.
So, oh, great. Yeah, you've actually played with some famous people.
I have. Only because I was mayor. When Marshall Tucker came to town, I'm a Southern rock fan, and when Marshall Tucker came to town, they played before 25,000 people in Vinoy Park, and I called up and asked them if I could play, and Doug Gray is the lead singer. I met with Doug. He said, oh, I'd love to have you play. So I played Can't You See. I sung the third verse.
All right.
With the Marshall Tucker band playing. And then every time they came back to the Bay Area, they'd call me. So I wound up playing with them four times.
Wow, that's great.
Cool.
And I used to play, and do you still play at all at the Saturday Morning Market?
I used to play once a month, because when they were starting it up, there's a fellow named Sam Stone who's a beach musician. He's a great, great talent. Sam and I would play, again, old guy rock and roll, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and a little Jimmy Buffett, and a little Eagles, and, you know, that kind of music.
Nice.
And so we would play because we were starting up the market. We were trying to get it going. And so if the mayor comes, the TV stations will come to say, because it's kind of unique for a mayor to be playing and singing songs in the market. So they would put it on TV so we'd get free advertisement for the market, and people would come. And so I did that about once a month, and...
Nice.
And I don't know. Once I quit being mayor, they didn't invite me back anymore. I always thought I was really good, but maybe it was more being mayor than it was being really good. I don't know.
Maybe we'll get you in the studio next, and we'll come out with something.
Yeah, you're gonna have to work it quite a bit.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Wonderful. So, so there was a lot there, and I know I was when I met Mr. Edwards once. I heard him say that you're responsible for bringing the soccer team, the Rowdies, to St. Pete. How did that happen?
Well, the team was here, but they were on the ropes, to be honest with you, financially. I've more and more become of the belief that soccer is the future of where the country's going, really. If you look at some of the statistics now, I think the average attendance at Major League Soccer games now in America exceeds the average attendance for the NHL and the NBA in America, and the for some of the targeted audiences of ESPN, professional soccer is watched more than any sport other than the NFL. So even more than Major League Baseball and basketball and hockey. So that's picking up. EA Sports, FIFA is, I think, the number one game in the world, and I think it's now the number one game in America for the young people. Folks, you know, young people, anybody probably 35 and under using FIFA. And anybody under 35 in America grew up playing soccer. So it's taking hold. If you go see what's happened in Kansas City and Portland and Seattle, they become soccer towns.
Yeah.
And so I think St. Pete's one of those cool places that could become that too. So Bill, I talked to Bill about it. He decided to buy the Rowdies, and he's learned a lot about it. You know, I think Bill's first professional soccer game he ever went to was after he owned the team, and so but he's jumped into it. He's deep into it right now, and he's building that into a soccer franchise. It's very exciting. I was just there Saturday night at a game. It was our last game of the season. Big crowd over at Al Lang. Play right on the waterfront downtown St. Pete, and I think that soccer is going to be an important part of our future.
You added a lot of seats in there as well.
He's added seats. He's going to add some more.
Wonderful. That sounds great. So, and also, we have the East-West Shrine game.
You got some bowl games. I when I was in office, we went down with ESPN, who wanted to bring a bowl to St. Pete, and we met with the NCAA bowl committee, and they approved us getting a bowl in St. Petersburg. So we now have what is called the Bitcoin Bowl is in downtown St. Petersburg. It's a college bowl game at the end of the season. It's actually played in December. Mm-hmm. And yes, East-West game, Shriners game plays in St. Pete and have lots going on. You know, the Firestone Grand Prix is incredible.
We get that? That is an amazing event.
You know, St. Pete had some early efforts at kind of small, what I'd call smaller Grand Prix type circuits, nothing like IndyCar or anything like that. And back in the 80s, and it didn't go well, but it was a start, but it just didn't catch on. When I got in office, I'm a big IndyCar fan, and
growing up in Indianapolis.
Yep, and I put a team together for the specific purpose of bringing a big deal race in to St. Pete. We had a local promoter that owned the race for the last couple of races that they had tried a few years before I took office, but we didn't have a race at the time. So we, working with the local promoter and some folks at what was then Champ Car, they brought a race in 04, which unfortunately, or maybe it was 03, I think it was 03, and unfortunately Champ Car nationally went in bankruptcy right after a race, and the promoter pulled out, so contacted Tony George at the Indy 500 to gauge their interest in bringing an IndyCar race here, and he contacted Michael Andretti, and Michael Andretti and a team that came with Kevin Savory and the Green Brothers came to St. Pete and put on a race in 05 for the first Grand Prix race, and we just had, it's now called the Firestone Grand Prix, had our 10th year last March, April, and it's been a very successful race, draws, 150,000 people every year. It's on television around the world. It's on live ABC America. It's a great two-hour commercial for the city. It's a great, great event for St. Pete.
And it's right downtown.
Right through the streets of downtown St. Petersburg. It's like a 5-day street party in the city every year. It's really cool, and it draws the Penske's and the Foyts and the Andretti's and call the premier racing people in the world come to downtown St. Pete every year.
So, Mayor, I just want to talk about a couple more things. You did a lot of work in the sciences, bringing businesses in science and over there.
Stanford Research, SRI, right. Formerly Stanford Research Institute, and Draper Labs out of MIT.
So if somebody was in that business, why would they want to come to St. Pete? What can you offer them?
Well, I think, I go back to what I said before is if you're a startup technology person, right, you could locate just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you get the right access to the World Wide Web and everything, you can locate just about anywhere. And so what is it that's going to attract people that want to be part of that? And I go back to quality of life. If you have a place that's a cool place, that's, you can live downtown, you can go to a Grand Prix race or Major League Baseball or a soccer game or a bowl game, or you can go, if you're in the arts scene, you can get out, or you want to have a boat on the water, you can go have a boat right there and within 5-minute walk of your condo downtown. And have a vibrancy downtown, go to movies, go to shows, go to outdoor concerts. We have tons of them. And people want to be part of that, and the young people that are involved in technology want to be part of that. That's what we have to offer to the world. That I've been a lot of places around the world, and I have never seen anything like what is downtown St. Petersburg. And I think most people that come here say the same thing.
Well, I have the same experience, and I can tell I've never read a book about where I'm living before and the history and all that, and now with yours I've read four. I mean, it's it's amazing. Yeah. And it's interesting. Every one of them is different and interesting. And also I want to talk about your work that you're doing at the Edwards Group. They're building the Sundial and some other projects.
Right.
And now I understand you're not getting very big names there, apparently. But it's what the newspaper said. But, I mean, Ruth Chris and some others.
We have got an incredible list of, you're referring to kind of a snotty newspaper article, which we get a lot here in St. Pete. But we've got a lot of big names and a great, great lineup. It's called Sundial. Bill Edwards really wanted to develop a special place for the downtown community. There was really not great shopping in downtown St. Pete, and we got a lot of very good restaurants, and he wanted to really have some world-class restaurants in downtown St. Pete. So we built this lifestyle center that's got, of course, it's got 19 movie theaters and an IMAX theater to start out with from MovieCo. In addition to that, we've got some great food. Michael Mina, who's one of the world's great restaurateurs and chefs, he's based out of San Francisco, but he's in Vegas and New York and Miami and all great restaurants around the country. He is bringing a 20,000 square foot market, Epicurean market called Locale.
Wow.
That's going to be a terrific place right in the heart of downtown. See, if you've been to New York, it's like Italy, perhaps, maybe a little smaller than in New York, but there's nothing like it in Florida or the Southeast United States. It's going to be really a first of its kind. It's going to be great for the people throughout the Bay Area, the greater St. Petersburg area, that want to come here and be part of it. Beyond that, we've got a restaurant called Sea Salt that's coming to town, and Sea Salt is a seafood restaurant. They're in Naples now. They're building a much more expanded version of it here. They're going to have an oyster bar that's got over 60 different types of oysters in the oyster bar. They've got incredible seafood that's, you know, caught within 2 or 3 days of when you're eating it in the North Atlantic, and the way they have their delivery systems down. You've got a wine bar that the wine bar is about 20 feet tall, and it's got, I think, 6,000 bottles of wine. The wine tower. With a glass tower that's got the wine in it, that you have to have a lift to go up and down to get the wine.
Wow.
And we actually had to put 4 I-beams in the floor below the below the wine tower to support it. And then we had to inject additional foundational cement underneath our foundation to support the columns and that are supporting the I-beams that are supporting the wine tower. So it's a serious wine tower.
Right.
And then lastly, on the food, we got Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris, I think 2 or 3 years in a row now, have been named the best steak restaurant in the country, and we're going to have a great one here. They're building a gorgeous steak restaurant. By the way, all these restaurants have a significant amount of indoor and outdoor seating as components to what they're doing. And then downstairs, we've got Tommy Bahama's and Lululemon and White House Black Market and Chico's and Swim and Sport, all national tenants. We've got a lot of great local tenants, Juxtapose and Jackie Z and Tracy Negotian. And we have a Marilyn Monroe spa that's a national spa that's really first-rate glamour spa. Mm-hmm. And we have a place called The Shave Cave where you can come in and get a craft beer and a haircut and a hot towel shave.
Oh, great. So I also wanted to ask a little bit about the Sundial itself. I don't think it was part of the original plan. I've seen some of the original sort of plans laid out, and it wasn't in those pictures. And now it's a beautiful.
Yeah, Bill Edwards had a friend of his, Rene Logler, who's a Hollywood set designer that has won Emmys, and he came and designed our center court, and he put a sundial in the center court when he designed it. And after he did that, it was going to be called the Shops at St. Pete. Excuse me. So after we did the Sundial, we decided, what the heck, let's name it Sundial.
And what a good name. And there's a lot of, it's very interesting, especially there's dolphins around there. I think they're made out of bronze, or I think, but I'm not sure the material exactly. But
boy, well, the dolphins were made, you know, we have this warehouse art district of St. Pete. And they were made by an artist in the warehouse art district. They are bronze, and they're leaping out of a fountain that sits in the middle of.
Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. And so are you, you've had a couple of openings, or are there soft openings and more like grand openings for the restaurants as they come online?
Yeah, we've got, you know, the place is pretty well committed. We have one opening left, but a lot of it is under construction. The restaurants are under construction now. The market is under construction. The most of the retail, probably two-thirds of the retail is open. The rest will be open by, you know, mid-November. And we've got the restaurants, the market itself, the locale will be open mid-December, and then the restaurants will be open mid-January. So there's a lot of tenant construction going on right now.
And you just had a job fair, I think, didn't you?
The market had a job fair for about, I think they were hiring about 150 people, mm-hmm. so that there's going to be hundreds of people employed here, mm-hmm. in the retail from management all the way down. So it'll be, and in addition to kind of the spinoff that comes, because, you know, the reason people are building 2,000 apartments downtown is because there's things to do, and this will become one of those things to do.
Will there also be room for growth for buildings that will house businesses as well?
Downtown, yeah. There's plenty of places downtown. We're doing a lot of projects downtown. This is only one of them, Sundial, mm-hmm. and some of the other ones would involve businesses and offices and things like that. And one of the projects we worked on, we brought Coulter, which is a developer that has taken a block that we had to, and they're developing a 41-story condo tower on that block and about a 15-story high-end hotel,
wow.
All of which pulls a lot of jobs with it.
And this kind of ties into the one segment that I do regularly, so I'll ask you as well, to give our listeners an interview tip of the week. If somebody was going to interview with your company and for a job, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd probably bring a lot of pieces of advice for an interviewer.
Okay.
I would, you know, the basics, you know, show up on time, you know, look presentable when you come. It's amazing how many people don't do that. And show up early, actually, not on time. Show mm-hmm. up early, a few minutes early. Now, don't show up a half hour early, but,
right.
you know, 10 minutes early is okay. And be prepared. Study the company that you're, you know, companies want to know that you know what they're doing. So be prepared to ask questions, but the questions shouldn't be, gee, what does your business do?
Right.
You should already know what the business does. You should know everything you can read about, so you could ask a question about the business that makes people understand you know what they are doing. So be prepared and know what they're doing. Have an idea for what you want to do and how you would become an asset to that company. Why? If you were in their position, why should they hire you? You should have already thought through and practiced through that before you ever step in the door.
Well, great. Well, Mayor, thank you so much for being my guest. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your real busy schedule. And I'm sure that people will be able to get a real good sense of what the city's like today and what it's been like and just your effort. And thank you for all of the work you did and continue to do. It's just for a person like me who's new to the area, it's just, I can really appreciate it. And everything just looks like it fits. And I'm just so impressed with everything here. And, you know, you did mention, you asked me before what I thought was the best part of your book. And what I thought I liked the best was how you involved everybody in and how you did things. You know, you incorporated everyone to be a team member with you, and you got things done.
Well, as you know, the title of the book is Seamless City, and the concept of a seamless city, part of the concept is there aren't seams between us. You know, if you got issues, you got to work together to solve the issues and identify common goals and common themes and how you can approach it. And I believe we were very successful at that.
Well, you were. And again, thank you so much for being my guest. I hope you'll come back in time and we can do it again.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you. And so that was my guest, Mayor Rick Baker. And if you'd like to communicate at all, just send me an email. I'll put you in touch and we'll go from there. So I want to thank you all and take this time to thank you all for listening to Job Talk and for tuning in to RadioSt.Pete.com. You should check out the local musicians and others who are featured here on the station as well. That's RadioSt.Pete.com, RadioSt.Pete.com. Make sure you tell your friends. You can also download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. If you like what you hear, I hope you'll listen again. Tell your friends. And if you have any suggestions for guests or have any job-specific questions, please send an email to us at RadioSt.Pete.com, and I'll answer your questions directly and get back to you either directly or answer them on the show here. Also, upcoming shows will feature the CEO of NetDirector, Harry Bieswinger, the director of St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, John Collins, and Richard Wood will be there also. Chase Stocken, the CEO of Panther International and Tampa Bay Tech Forum, will also be a guest on Job Talk soon. So check out the website for all the upcoming guests. And many thanks go out to Joe Bordeaux, Chuck, Richard, Hari, my engineers, Sean, and Dan, and all the Eagles for their support. And as always, you know, it wouldn't be right to end Job Talk without saying at least one more thing about St. Pete and the Tampa Bay area. You know, if you are thinking about relocating your family or business and looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should definitely take a look at all St. Petersburg has to offer. I'm really glad I did, and you know, you'll be happy you did too, guaranteed. So anyway, thank you, everyone, and until next time, take care. This is Dean Logan.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com.